it's a treasure hunt, for lack of a better term. So you never know what's going to come out of the ground. And you have the possibility of touching something that a human hasn't touched in 100, 150, 200 years. Oh, and for me, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
My name is Jim Winter. I also go by the Driftless Digger. That is my brand. I call myself a history saver. I used to call myself a treasure hunter, but that has somewhat negative terms in my mind. That to me implies that I'm going to come to your property, take all the cool stuff out of the ground and take it home with me and you never see it again.
So to the British Museum.
Correct. Yeah. So now I call myself a history saver. That's a much more appropriate term.
Okay. What is your primary mode of saving history?
I just love history. I've always enjoyed history ever since I was a little kid. And for me, it's the thrill of not knowing what's going to come out of the ground. It's a treasure hunt, for lack of a better term. So you never know what's going to come out of the ground. And you have the possibility of touching something that a human hasn't touched in 100, 150, 200 years. And for me, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
Driftless. Does this tell me something about where you're from?
Not where I'm from. I'm originally from Central Illinois, Decatur, Illinois, but I spent a lot of time living in Dubuque, Iowa and Platteville, Wisconsin before moving to Beloit. So I took the name Driftless Digger just so I could have a brand and people could recognize who I was. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/driftlessdigger. I'm also on Instagram @driftlessdigger, and I am on TikTok. Don't do a lot of TikTok videos, but I'll do some live in the field, but that's also @driftlessdigger.
And are you dancing in those videos?
I am not. There are metal detectorists who do dances when they find silver and gold. I am not one of them.
So you use the term metal detectorist.
Yes.
Now, let's just start right in with the controversy. We love words on this show. You are not a metal detector.
No. No, a metal detector is the equipment that you use. Okay. The metal detectorist is one who uses a metal detector to find metal in the ground.
Okay, and I learned the word detectorist from the TV show.
Yes, the detectorist.
Did you watch it? Are you a fan?
I have not watched many episodes of it, but I am a fan. It is funny, and a lot of what they show in that television show is actually pretty germane to what we do. So it's
accurate.
It's somewhat accurate, yeah.
I love the show, yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this for?
As an adult, since 2019. It's been 7 years. I did it 1 year as a kid, and that was kind of my origin story. As a kid, I begged and begged and begged my parents for a metal detector. Never got one until I was 17, and it was a really cheap kid's model. I used it for a year in our yard, found really cool stuff, and then life got in the way, high school, girls, college, adulthood. But I kept that child's metal detector every time I moved, and just forever. And then in 2019, cleaning out my garage, saw the metal detector in the corner, got it out, and the wires connecting the battery to the electronic housing were frayed apart, so I couldn't use it anymore.
Hmm.
And I had an epiphany moment. I was like, wait, I really liked doing that the 1 year I did it as a kid. Why not do it again as an adult? So in 2019, I bought my first professional-grade metal detector and have been doing it ever since.
What?
I guess when we see your metal detector, we can ask you, like, what's the difference between this and what I might have brought out here, which would have been a kid's. Yeah.
There is a very wide range of difference. The ones you buy at, say, Radio Shack, Bass Pro Shops, Walmart, those are $100, $150 detectors, and they'll find metal, but they don't differentiate for you what kind of metal you're finding, how far in the ground it is, or anything else. Whereas the professional grade detectors I have make different sounds based on different metal you're encountering. It tells you how deep it is. It has pinpointers on it, so it's much more advanced and accurate, which allows me to prevent digging a bunch of nails, pull tabs, and bottle caps.
But you said even in Central Illinois with a kid's metal detector, you were able to find stuff.
Yeah, I just used it in my dad's yard, and I found a dog tag from the previous owner who lived in our house and his dog, wheat pennies, a couple silver dimes.
Oh, that's cool.
Play money token, a religious pendant, just in my dad's yard. And I actually went back when I was having to take care of my dad a couple times, went back and detected his yard with an even better detector I had, and I still found stuff in the ground. So
So I'm going to give you three choices.
Ooh, I have three now.
You have three to pick from. This is what I was thinking. Okay. Here's the differences. And you tell us what you're thinking about in each one. There is a site not too far from here that is, nobody ever lived there or anything, but I think it was a, I think it was where people threw garbage out for years. I found old bottles and stuff there. But it's kind of easy, old meaning, like, I don't know, there's no label on them or anything. And I think it'd be easy for you to do, but there's nothing really there. Nothing was ever there.
I do go bottle digging as well. So that's,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's intriguing. But when you say old, that's a relative term. So I'd have to see the bottles to see how, I could tell you immediately how old they are based on what the bottles look like. So
I left them out there. They're still out there. You can rediscover them.
Past that one. Yeah. Okay.
That's also the place I should say there's no morel mushrooms because we went looking for morel mushrooms. So these guys know that spot. And if you can detect a morel, that would be awesome. The second spot is a farmstead that was up above a spring. It was up above a natural spring. But it is really overgrown. It's really weedy. It'd be hard to get to. You'd have to go over an electric wire. And there's a lot of multifloral rows. And I think it's actually fenced off. And then the third one.
Which is the one you think I'm going to pick.
This is the one I think you're going to pick. There is the foundation of an old house that I know was there. It started in the mid or early 19th century, and it went until about the Depression. And around the Depression, they lost the farm, so that's when the people moved out of there.
Okay.
The foundation is there, but nothing else is there. And it's a little hilly, and we can access it pretty easily, and I don't think anybody's ever done anything with it.
Is that the one that's in the middle of a crop field, or is that the one that's grass and pasture?
It's
but not overgrown.
It's like scrubby kind of. It's near crops, but it's not, that particular area is not. Nobody's ever grown anything on it.
Okay.
So when you hear about those three sites, what sounds the most promising to you?
I am always a fan. It's in fact my favorite type of place to metal detect is in the middle of a farm field where a house used to be that isn't anymore, especially if it's the Great Depression, if it hasn't been there in 80 years. That is usually a place where you will find a lot. The metal you do find is old. There's not a lot of modern trash there because there's not a lot of modern foot traffic there. And the metal, either it's old metal or it's farm implements, pieces of blades and that have fallen off of farm machinery. So farm fields like that I love, and that's what I do right now until they're planted in May, is primarily farm fields.
So even with my amateur's knowledge of metal detecting, I figured the right one. That was the one I thought. Okay. And just for the record, there's another one I know of that not too far from here, but that they abandoned their farmhouse around the 1970s.
Okay.
So I bet that would be less interesting.
Yeah, probably. Okay. There'd be more, less interesting just in that there'd be more modern trash there if it's from the 70s. But depending on how long the family lived there or people lived there, it could be just as lucrative as the one we're probably going to go to.
All right. Let's head out. Should we head out?
Let's do it.
Okay. That's where the house was. What was the most exciting thing, just off the top of your head, that you found?
I get asked that question all the time. What's the coolest thing you found? So I answer that question two ways. The first is, if I can find something that I can return to the person it belongs to or the family it belongs to and tell the history behind it, that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
I've done that probably on four or five occasions. Ended up being a really cool story. But as far as the coolest thing I've ever found, it was at a 1870s house just north of Galena, Illinois. And it was a piece of metal about the size of a deck of cards. And it had the corners clipped off. And on the front of it, it said WG, which I was like, okay, West Galena, what is this? But I reached out to some military experts, and they determined for me that there was a civilian militia unit formed in Philadelphia in the 1800s called the Washington Grays. And this apparently was the first iteration of their belt buckle that no one has ever seen before in existence. And they said if I was to sell that at a proper auction, military or Philadelphia, I could get $5,000 to $10,000 for it. So, but no, I don't sell what I find. I don't do this to make money. So, but the fact that I found something so historic, but I have found Civil War belt plates, buttons from the War of 1812 at a battle site in Wisconsin. So you just, it's amazing what you can find if you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
All right, here's tool number one, your shovel.
Yes, serrated shovel, stainless steel welded together. There's actually two companies that make shovels specifically for metal detectorists. So,
how deep do you usually have to dig? Like, how deep was that belt buckle?
The belt buckle was probably about 4 to 5 inches. Most signals will be on the surface to down to about 6 inches.
Okay.
But I have found things as deep as 10, 12, and the metal detector can go down that far.
Okay.
But most metal that's that deep is cheap metal that is iron that isn't really worth digging.
Okay.
Tool number two, the most expensive one, yes.
It looks like a pool cleaner.
Yes, this is the Minelab Equinox 800. So this one was about $1,000. So
is it lightweight? It looks like you're
not struggling. It's fairly lightweight. You can feel free.
Oh yeah, a small fellow like I could carry that about.
This almost looks like one of those fishing things.
I was gonna say it actually, like Spencer. Remember when we went fishing with Fink? That's what it looked like. The thing you used to find the fish under the ice.
We went ice fishing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, we actually call metal detecting dirt fishing.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're looking for a signal, waiting for something, and you have to be patient, just like fishing.
Right.
Where you may go an hour without a signal, and then all of a sudden you get something, and you have to, for lack of a better term, reel it in.
That's funny. There's our episode title.
Yeah.
Dirt fishing.
Dirt fishing.
What are some other tools here you use? Smaller shovel.
Yeah. Oh. This is a called a pin pointer. So this is basically a miniature metal detector.
Ah.
So
this is like the one you get at the airport, get waved at the airport. It's like a wand.
Similar.
It looks like a wand.
So this one I use the big metal detector to locate the signal, dig the plug, the hole to get the, and then once I have the hole dug, I use this to find the metal in the hole. It's much easier than using that over and over and over and over again.
So yeah, that makes sense.
Much more efficient. Yeah.
Narrowing it down.
Exactly. They call this one the carrot for obvious reason. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the method before where people just dig up a huge heap and then they're almost just detecting the heap.
Yes.
Is that like a different method than you do?
That's mostly water detecting. They use sand scoops to dig it up. And then, I don't go to beaches because most metal detectorists by their very nature are introverted people who don't like talking to strangers, don't like being around people. So they go to parks, beaches, places where they don't have to get permission to go. So I tend to stay away from those places because A, they're full of modern trash. B, that's where a lot of the guys who are afraid to talk to people go. So I would much rather go someplace like this where I am the only one who has permission to be here and I can detect it to my whim and not have to worry about other people being here, because metal detecting for me often is a solitary hobby. I do it because I like being out in nature, being in quiet and enjoying something. I go out with guys every once in a while, but so I'd much rather go to a place that I have exclusive access to.
Yeah. You don't seem that introverted.
I am not. I am a very outgoing person, yes.
Why do you think introverts are attracted to metal detecting?
I think it's because it's something you can do by yourself.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't have to, if you don't care about where you go, you can go places where you don't have to ask permission. You can just do it.
Right.
And be on your own. But for me, saving history, I'd much rather go someplace where I have the ability to find something really, really cool than just a bunch of modern trash and maybe one or two pennies. But I'm also blessed and lucky that my Driftless Digger name is well known enough that I never have to door knock to try and seek permissions. I actually have people coming to me and saying, hey, we'd love to have you come out and do our property. Would you doing that? So, and I post on community Facebook pages a lot of what I do, and I get permissions that way, but I'm blessed that I have people coming to me, so I don't have to, I don't have to deal with the,
That's how we found you.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome. This is something I've always wanted to try
ever since
I was a little kid also. And maybe before we get into it, like what's a piece of advice you'd give to someone who's interested in getting into metal detecting but hasn't taken that first step?
I would recommend that you do your research and buy a good, inexpensive metal detector and not the ones that you buy at Walmart and Radio Shack and Bass Pro Shops, because like I said, those will make the same sound no matter what metal you go over. So beginners who buy those very quickly get frustrated because all they're finding are nails and bottle caps and pull tabs. And you can buy a really good metal detector for $300, and it's a Garrett, which is one of the most well-known companies, and it has different tones for different metals and will allow a beginner to really find cool stuff. But The other thing they have to, another thing I would recommend is that don't get discouraged if you find a lot of trash at the beginning, because you have to, I don't go out here and find amazing stuff immediately. I will have to dig through some trash to find really cool stuff. So it's, even with a professional grade metal detector, you're still going to find trash in the ground that isn't desirable. But the more trash you dig out of a site, the more that is going to reveal better signals underneath and hidden from view at the first time because of all the big stuff. So now you know somebody who can help you get into it if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome.
I do mentor new metal detectorists. That's one of the things. I'm a big believer in giving back to the hobby, and that's one of the things I do is I mentor new metal detectorists. I teach them how to do it, and I'll take them out in the field and actually do it with them so that they can be successful and find stuff.
Yeah. Great, so people can find you a Driftless Digger on Facebook if they're interested.
Exactly. There better be stuff here. No, I'm kidding. I've never been shut out.
You've never been shut out? Oh, that's what we said when we went morel hunting. So.
There's gonna be stuff around it. So.
What do you like when you see this? What's clicking in your head here?
Trying to figure out where the chimney was. I'll try and figure out whether it's a house foundation or a barn foundation, but we already know that it's a house foundation, according to your
research. I believe so,
research,
yeah. I mean, it's very possible that that's not correct, but.
We'll find out by what we find, but. Typically, if it's not overgrown like that, I will do the base of the, I will do inside the foundation first real quickly, but most of the time at a cellar hole like this, the stuff you're gonna find is around the foundation, not in the foundation.
Why would that be?
Because people lost stuff around the house. Inside the house, they didn't really lose as much, or if they, especially a stone foundation like this, there wasn't wood floors or things for, actually in this house there might have been if it was until the 1940s, but most often, especially when they clean out a cellar hole like this, they'll just take the stuff and disperse it around the house.
Yeah. What can you detect with this detector?
Every metal imaginable.
Okay. Yeah.
So gold, silver, iron, brass, copper, you name it. And it'll make different sounds and give me a different number based on what kind of metal it is. So I can ignore it if I want to and not dig it up. But in a place like this where I'm going for the first time and it's a alleged homestead, I'm probably going to dig more signals than I normally would just to see what's in the ground and where it's at.
And we don't have to get too technical here, but just tell us a little bit about how the detector actually works. How does it, is it like magnets? What's going on here?
So metal detectors send electromagnetic frequencies into the ground. And then when it hits a piece of metal, that frequency bounces off of that piece of metal back to the machine, telling the machine that there's a piece of metal there. So pretty simple. Yeah. No threat of electrocution or anything like that. But it's a pretty simple mechanism. And again, like I said, I have numbers on here and sounds that'll help me decide what the metal is. And the other metal detector I actually have in the car, the Manticore, actually even has a 2D screen on it that'll show you not the shape of the item by per se, but it'll show you on a 2D screen whether it's ferrous, non-ferrous, where it's ending up, and so on. So even more ability to look and find things. But
cool. Well, where do we start here?
Well, I usually turn on my machine and ground balance it, and then start swinging. So
good. Oh, is there metal there?
No.
That's the I like the startup sound.
That's just ground balancing the machine.
Hell yeah.
Very arcade machine sound.
Yes. So now I just have to decide. So it has different modes. It has park mode. It has field mode. Gold mode. In a place like this where we're not really, it's not really a park, it's not really a farm field, it's kind of in between, so I'll probably start in park mode because it's closer to grass than it is to a farm field, and then if I have to adjust, I can adjust to a different mode. But the different modes on the machine basically notch out different signals that you don't have to hear in that type of location. So you'll see on here, that will display a number when I encounter a piece of metal. And then you'll hear the sound, and then it'll also give me a depth indicator to tell me how far in the ground it is, approximately.
Hell yeah.
Wow, that didn't take long.
No. So this has a pinpointer on the machine here, so I can... So it'll tell me it's about 8 inches in the ground, so... So right about there is where it is. So after I locate it, then I'll start digging a plug. So we don't dig most metal detectors, if they're worth their weight, when they dig a hole, they don't dig the entire 360 degrees. They dig what's called a plug. So we dig on three sides and leave one side hinged to the ground. Uh-huh. So we just flip it open, get whatever signal it is out, and put the ground back in, because that prevents you from killing the grass. Oh. Which in a place like this, I assume you don't care that much.
Correct.
But in a yard, if you're in a yard, if you're doing that and you're killing, and you have a bunch of yellow circles in a person's yard because you killed the grass, they're not very happy with that. Right. So.
Wow, we
that's pretty efficient there.
It was like 30 seconds, and after turning it on, you found your first hit already.
And you got the plug out. What did that just tell you?
I may have missed it a little bit. It's farther over here. So I'm just going to dig a little extra. Oh. That was a root.
All right, now you got the carrot out.
Yeah, so the more solid the sound is, that tells you you're closer to the target. So you see how it does that, and then
there it is.
It's solid right in there. So it's eight.
What do you think it's going to be? Like, what's your prediction right now?
Aluminum trash.
I was going to say gold doubloon.
Wouldn't that be great?
One or the other.
There we go.
Shotgun shell.
Really?
Yep. Wow. And a lot of metal detectors don't like finding these because they're considered one level above a pull tab or a bottle cap. Hmm. But I like finding these because you can actually, there's actually a website where you can go and put in the name and gauge, and it'll tell you how, when it was made. So that's a Federal Monarch shotgun shell. So yeah, you can look that up on the site and see how old it is, which will help you date the site. So very cool.
What a cool first find.
You have somebody using shotgun out here. So
yeah, and I wonder if that could have been later.
There might be something else in there. A nail. it is a square nail.
Looks like an old nail.
Yeah, it's a square nail. Square nails were used from the 1870s to the late 1890s.
Oh, yeah?
But wait, there's more. Barbed wire.
Look at that. That's probably fresh off the Jacob Haish production line.
Yeah, and then after I find something, I'll determine which pocket it goes in based on whether it's a keeper or just junk.
So a shotgun shell, would that have been paper at that?
Yes.
Okay, instead of the horrible plastic ones that we find lying around on top of the soil.
Correct. And if you want, I can look that one up quick and see what age it is.
Ooh. Yeah.
Now, why did you save a piece of the brick?
It's part of the house, so it tells me that there was a brick structure here. So,
okay.
And dependent on the property owner and who I'm working with, if we have an agreement that they want everything, or they want, so I always err on the side of keeping everything.
Okay.
And then when I follow a code of ethics that states the property owner always has first right of refusal to what I find.
Okay.
So I'd rather err on the side of keeping everything rather than thinking, oh, that's junk. And metal detectorists, that code of ethics also says, if you dig something out of a hole, you have to take it out, whether it's trash or treasure. If you leave it in the hole, you're doing a disservice to the ground and to other people who may metal detect here. So that wire, probably trash. I would normally throw that away when I get home, but we're at a site that is historic to you, so, and your mother-in-law owns it, so keep it for now, and then if it's determined later that it's not worth it, then all right. So let's look up the Federal Monarch and see. Again, I think that's more of a modern one, but we'll see.
It says number 12.
Number 12. That's the gauge of the shotgun shell. Yeah. Oh yeah, 1950s to early 1960s. So even that, it's 60 years old. So.
Some guy out here hunting.
So somebody must have been out here,
70 years ago.
Isn't it shocking? There's so much in that such a tiny hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be hunting around like an hour before you found anything.
Well, I think I'd like to go on that side of the...
Okay.
Well, we're finding metal. There's not nothing amazing yet. Well, the shotgun shell is kind of cool.
What's the strangest thing you've found?
I was detecting at a park 30 seconds down the hill from my house in Dubuque, Iowa. and in the side of a hill and found a metal box. And whenever a metal detectorist finds a metal box, like, ooh, treasure, full of gold coins. But I got home and opened it up, and there were some wooden child's blocks in there and a mummified cat carcass.
Oh, no.
So I closed that box back up, took it back down to the hill, and reburied it because I didn't want to have bad juju from digging up somebody's pet cat. That
wow. Buried
with the block.
But bottle digging, I've dug up squirrels, live nests of snakes.
Non-poisonous,
so. Okay. But still, a little frightening when you open up a hole and then a whole bunch of snakes crawl out.
Yeah.
Very Indiana Jones.
Oh, and a good find. Yay.
Old belt buckle.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So is that a common thing that you're finding?
At old homesteads, yes. Still has the...
Yeah, it's got the belt, the hook, and everything.
Yeah.
And what's that made out of, you think? Iron?
Yep, iron.
Wow. That was holding up someone's pants over 100 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, did the buckle fall off, or did they lose the whole belt?
That is extreme.
Yeah, do you think he was on the top notch?
Yeah, I think so. This buckle's really done some work.
That's really cool. That's the best find so far.
How many belt buckles do you find? Because the other story was a belt buckle story. Must be a...
It's a at a site like this, belt buckles are fairly common. Toe taps are fairly common, which are the little metal pieces they put on the front of their boot to stop them from being worn. Harmonica reeds are very common at old home sites like this.
Really?
Yeah.
A buckle like that, and could that just be, could it be a harness buckle, or is there, does that one look like a belt?
Most buckles like that are horse tack buckles, used for straps on the horse reins. But that one could also be a buckle that was worn on the pants. So that's big enough that it could be either or. You find versions of that are much smaller that are very obviously horse tack. But that one could be either one. That's really cool.
I could see how this could be almost like meditative, very relaxing.
You're not listening to podcasts or anything.
No,
you're just complete in the zone.
In the zone.
Flow state, 100%.
Yep. Headphones on. I'll usually take a water break, bring lunch with me if I'm going to be somewhere for the whole day, and sit under a tree.
This really sounds awesome. It's idyllic.
Yeah, and I plan so. Right now, I'm really busy because I'm an assistant. I'm the volunteer assistant pitching coach and player development coach for Beloit College's baseball team, went and played myself.
Okay.
So metal detecting right now is not going to be happening a lot until May when the season is over. But June through October, I take one weekend a month and go somewhere 3 to 4 hours away, stay in an Airbnb, have permissions in these places, do metal detecting for 2 whole days, and just get away. So, but... I have tons and tons of permissions locally that I can go to. Ah, you have a button.
A metal button?
Yes.
I was just going to ask if you ever found like pants,
underwear buttons
and stuff like that.
Pants buttons, overall buttons.
Is that what that is, from someone's jeans or something, maybe?
Too early to tell. I know it's a button because I saw 4 holes on it.
Interesting to think they were made out of metal, you know.
And that's old. Yeah. Literally 3 feet away from the buckle. So typically when that happens, I will stay in an area for a little bit and scan around it, because where there's 2 things, there may be another.
Yeah,
there it is.
Where do you think you got your love of history from?
That's a good question. My dad was big into family history. I had a grandfather who fought in World War II under General Patton in the Battle of the Bulge, and we have some of his items. And then when my dad passed, I was the last family member left, so I kind of inherited all that history. So I just love history. And I, being a newspaper editor for a very long time, I love telling stories. So when I can find stuff like this and tell the story of a property or tell the story of an item, I love that. Sometimes that research and telling the story is even more fun than finding it. Cleaning the stuff is the worst part. That's the part I hate, because it takes forever.
But I bet you have to use special cleaning products. You're not using...
Nope. Soap and water.
Soap and water.
Soap and water, a toothbrush, bottle brushes for when I go bottle digging and find bottles. But I keep it very simple, because there's a lot of things you don't want to get wet, like copper coins. you do not wash copper coins with water because it interacts with the copper and makes it just look bad. So you have to know what you're doing. But yeah, almost 99% of the time, it's just water and a toothbrush. Pretty simple. I like it keeping that patina of when I found it. I don't need it all looking all brand new and everything. Right. I like keeping that age on it.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's like the thrill of the find is one thing, but it's cool that you do it for the love of the history too and preserving, like you said.
Right. And we found a fair amount of stuff just in the, I don't know how long we've been here, 30 minutes, 40 minutes? I don't know what time it is, but. So when I come to a place, if I have three things in my excellent box, to me that's a good hunt. So, and I already have two things in there. And so I consider that a good hunt. Some metal detectorists get upset if they don't find silver or they don't find coins. And I'm more of a relic guy. So that button that we found, I think is really cool. The buckle, really cool. I'll take those over coins any day, because coins you can find anywhere. But relics like that, that tells the story of the property and what was going on here more than coins do. So,
is it rude to ask someone if, can I try it? Can I try your, okay.
So to do it.
Okay.
Oh, I might, we'll have to adjust the height for you if you want.
I can.
You can manage?
Okay. I'll manage.
You want to swing, the key is to always swing slightly wider than shoulder width apart. Okay. And then you want to keep the coil parallel to the ground. I've trained the Beloit Police Department and Rock County Sheriff's Office how to use metal detectors at crime scenes to find evidence. And I'm actually speaking next month at the Wisconsin Association for Identification Conference in the Dells. That's law enforcement to teach them how to use metal detectors at crime scenes appropriately. So, but swing back and forth. There you go.
Wider.
Yes, okay. And
it's easier on flat ground, I'll tell you that too.
Are you touching the ground?
No.
Or you're
hovering above.
Hovering? Okay.
In a parallel way. Yeah.
Okay, I was getting stuff here, but nothing now.
Yep. This probably means it's really small.
Okay.
And really deep. Oh. Yep, right there.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
So.
Okay. All right.
So now let's turn the pinpointer off, back to normal mode. I assume you want me to do the digging.
Yeah,
digging.
You can do it. You can do it.
Digging is not the fun part.
I got to learn how to do this right, though.
Okay. Sue, what do you think it is?
I think it is, I want a hairpin.
Huh?
I hope we find more of this guy's wardrobe.
Yeah.
The rest of his pants.
Oh, it's right in there. You got it.
My hairpin. Ta-da!
Square nail.
I knew it was a square nail.
That's a pretty one, too.
Why, thank you.
Good job.
And that, wow, all that
noise
from a square nail.
Yeah.
Look at that. The carrot is silent, you guys. Okay.
Congratulations, your first metal detecting find.
Yay!
Tell us one more time, where can people contact you if they're interested in having you come out to their property or want to learn more?
You can message me through my Facebook page, which is Driftless Digger. That's the place where people get a hold of me most, is they'll just private message me on Facebook. JimWinter34@gmail.com is my email address. They can email me there as well, and I'll respond pretty quickly. So.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You know, going out on this really, really got me, you know, hearkening back to my childhood with my dad finding quarters on the playground.
You want to get a metal detector, don't you?
I really do. I really, really do. I have one that I don't know how it even works, and it's a toy, essentially.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like I might be mature enough to upgrade to a real one.
But he said those are good starter detectors.
Toy ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For babies, so.
Spencer's got one.
I did hear, before we start recapping here the day, I was told by Mike Lundgren, Sessions from Studio A co-producer, you can rent a metal detector from the DeKalb Public Library.
Really?
They have a whole rent, an item
no kidding.
Thing where you can just rent random stuff like a guitar or a... You know, metal detector, apparently.
Has he done that, or he just know it's available?
No, he said it's available, though, so we
might
have to check that out.
Because that might be something.
That's a good idea.
You can find a lot of treasures in that, too.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I wonder if the library gets a cut of all the, you know, your findings.
Well, I think, you know, to talk about Jim's deal.
Yeah.
What he said was that he doesn't put anything back in the ground. He likes to... kind of, there's an ethics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he finds something, he cleans it up, he polishes, he likes to do research on it if there's something that is
worthy of research, and then he gives it to the homeowner, or he gives the homeowner a first right of refusal, and if the homeowner doesn't want it, then he keeps it for his collection, or he finds a good home for it. And I think he talked about a few, like the things that he found that he didn't couldn't quite figure out what to do with.
Yeah,
right.
Like yeah. A cat.
The cat box.
I liked his ethical viewpoint of it all, though.
I did
and
too.
It's all very like he's a steward of history, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's really a caretaker.
So here's what he found since then. I'll see if you guys can see this. This is another shotgun shell, but these look like buckles. Now, I don't remember if he speculated on this in the show. No, it was later on. He told me he thought that there might have been a stable, like a horse stable, and that a lot of the buckles and stuff that he was finding had to do with horses and horse. And I think that we have since found that home was a stagecoach stop for a little while.
Wow.
So that would track with that. And I think we saw that after he figured that out. Here's the fork. You're right. It was in the second batch of findings.
Oh, wow.
Now, for the listeners, we'll put this online, but the fork is well bent, but he cleaned it up, he polished it, and it looks like, I mean, this is not for eating. What would you say? Like, what's a delicate fork used for? I don't eat delicate food.
Yeah, no.
This is a serious frontier fork.
Yeah.
That this someone had been chopping wood with,
maybe.
Or,
It's for eating varmints, I think. I mean, it's got big tines and they're pretty bent. Yeah. Now we found one of these when he was with us, but here's
another
big file.
A file, wow. That one looks more primitive than the one we found earlier.
May have been older.
Hmm.
This was, it didn't clean up so nicely. I can't get a sense of the length of it. More shotgun shells.
Oh, wow, lots of them.
So somebody might have been shoosting on the property. Some more pottery. He found like these metal rings, and they're all, what's the word for that? Yeah. They're
corroded.
Corroded and patinaed, maybe a little bit.
Yes, that's
know.
A much nicer word.
I don't know if it's an adjective, but more pottery. I'm looking for something specific. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He found this glass bottle.
Oh, whoa. Wow. It looks so nice. He must have cleaned it
up. He cleaned it.
Yeah, wow.
I think it has the word Polish on it. Yeah, Polish.
Or
polish. You can see it said Metal Polish Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I like Metal Polish.
Metal Polish Chicago.
It's a really, really light blue.
Wow.
It's a pretty bottle.
Yeah.
It's almost whole. It looks like it's got a big hole in it.
Yeah, this is
you could put a ship in it.
H-O-L-E. Yeah. I think there was a ship in it he removed. But I wouldn't drink out of it because I think it held metal polish.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Cool.
He found these pennies, and this we didn't have to dig. We didn't have to guess the date on.
Oh.
This penny's from 1941, and this one is this is from 1927.
Wow.
A penny from and you can see it's totally patinaed out.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
So 1941, someone might have still. Been when was the place torn down?
It was hit by a tornado.
Yeah.
In the 70s, but it had been abandoned long before then.
Okay.
I think it had been in the use up until the 20s. Nobody had used it since the 20s. I'm sorry, it had been used up until about the 20s as a like a hotel maybe or I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But it was a stagecoach stop.
The pesky car business came along and,
people
ruined
stopped going
their
out
whole
there.
Thing.
Yeah.
There were no Caseys.
Wow.
Yeah,
so there's no reason to go.
It might have been a hunter in the 40s who dropped a penny there, too.
Could be.
Because all those shotgun shells.
These were more buttons.
That's
and
a cool button.
This is the coolest thing. And Jim, the Driftless Digger, said he was going to do some research on this. And as of yet, I have not heard what he found. But he found these are five tokens. Five metal tokens. Two of them are round and what shape is this, Sue? You're pretty smart.
Hexagonal.
It's a hexagonal. Hexagon? Hexagon. And they say good for 5 cent loaf. In the center they say 5 cent and it says good for loaf around the side.
Loaf. Whoa. So
that's
either
so cool.
Bread or a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of them says Brandt, Ohio, B-R-A-N-D-T, Ohio.
Wow.
B-G Bodiker, B-O-D-I-K-E-R, Brandt, Ohio. Two of them say good for a 5 cent loaf, good for a 5 cent loaf. And then one just says C-B.
I just can't believe how much was found there. I kind of expected us to like go out and maybe find like one or two nails, and that was going to be like the whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that.
And we're then... used to going out mushroom hunting with Chris Fink, and that's what happens. Like, we end up with nothing. But
anything you would have liked to have found out there besides the pot of gold?
Yeah. Big. I was hoping for a big gold bullion. I was hoping for Nazi loot.
Buried.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that. But actually, honestly, I was just hoping for, I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
And what he found is quite delightful. I'm utterly charmed by it. And I hope that that he comes out again and continues to find stuff. And I think we can update our listeners if he does. And I know that we should say what he's on Facebook.
He's got
his own website.
You can reach out to him on Facebook. There is at the Driftless Digger, Digger.
If you've got some place you think might be worth poking around, sifting around through, and I know that he's also going to post. I think he's waiting for this episode to air. But listener, if you're listening to this, it's aired. So you can go onto that his Facebook page right now and take a look at pictures that he found from the site.
Yeah, and our website too. We'll have pictures of all the things found.
Yeah, and he'll also coach people.
That's right.
Which
he'll
I'm
mentor.
Kind of excited about. You know, now is my opportunity to have a mentor.
You go to the library, get yourself a metal detector.
Yeah. Yep.
And then have a little coach show you how. That would be cool.
That would be great. Okay. Well, that is on my long list of things that I have my to-do list from fun stuff from under rocks, including curling.
Make fruit wine. Make honey wine.
Also get in a dragon boat.
Get in a dragon boat. Yeah. Do curling.
You could have an under rocks summer.
Eat a potato chip.
That one I've checked off, the potato chip. Oh, yeah. It's the rest to get to for our Under Rock Summer.
Wet, hot, Under Rock Summer 2026.
If anyone has an idea for the Wet, Hot, Under Rock Summer 2026, something you'd like us to investigate?
Something you'd like us to dig.
Yeah, we can do it. Give us a call. No, don't give
815.
Us a call.
No. They should contact us through the emails.
That's right. Send us a note.
We have an email detector.
We do.
And it'll beep whenever your email arrives, and we'll open it.
And it's so simple to remember because it's rocks.
Rocks.
At niu.edu.
Rocks at niu. Hold on, let me jot it down. .edu. Got it.
Yep. As in Northern Illinois University. .edu.
Edu for NIU. Education.
That's right.
All right.
So let's hear from you.